This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We watch a documentary film a month on Marketplace themes, and you're invited to watch along and or follow along by signing up free for our Econ Extra Credit newsletter. This time it's a vintage movie, the bodybuilding one from 1977, Pumping Iron, featuring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno. One became governor of California, the other became an international TV star playing the Hulk. In Pumping Iron, we're led to believe Arnold is a cunning villain as he competes for another win as Mr. Olympia. Now, what the documentary does not mention is the use of anabolic steroids to build big muscles. Schwarzenegger in later years admitted he used this pharmaceutical enhancement back when these were legal. Now, without prescription, they've been illegal in the U.S. since 1990. Steroids can have serious health effects, and steroid-enhanced bodies can project to the culture false senses of what a normal body should be. We connected with Stephen Mayville. He's a psychologist based in Reno who's done work centered around muscle dysmorphia and steroid misuse. Dr. Mayville, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know, some people of a certain age remember the ads of muscle men, sometimes muscle women in magazines, and maybe one of these bodybuilder events may have caught some people's attention, but now it's really everywhere. You can wake up, pick up your phone, and see these images. Would you say it's more ubiquitous?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it makes it easy. You know, in the age of social media, just everybody can join, everybody can participate. So you start to view things and, you know, algorithms get used to your preferences and you can be bombarded by that as much as you want, or maybe in some cases don't want.
Well, if you think about that for a second, for instance, on just to pick one, TikTok, if it notices their algorithm that you're lingering over a couple of these images, you might get a whole lot more. And suddenly you're surrounded and you didn't fully consciously choose to be surrounded by the images.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And these algorithms pick up on increasing the popularity of people who are looked at more. And then there's a big reinforcement contingency for those people creating more content too. So it's sort of a self-perpetuating thing that tends to grow over time.
Yeah. Would you say, I mean, you've seen it in your practice, would you say it's has more harmful effects than what we're seeing from the 1970s with the, you know, championship weightlifters occasionally having their, you know, competitions?
Sure, yes. And, you know, you have, you know, the old days of bodybuilding. Certainly, you know, I viewed that when I was playing football when I was younger and thinking I can obtain this build if I can just use this protein powder. You know, it's and then back then thinking of muscle mass for football, but you know, it's really spread over to other things as well, including definition. And, you know, there are many different substances that contribute to this, you know, what you see in the social media profiles and images, including, you know, diuretics, steroids. So we have both mass and definition. And so you see, you know, those types of fitness influencers include both people who are enormous bodybuilders as well as people who are just seeking more definition.
Would you say there's a mismatch between what people say they're doing and what they're actually doing? Maybe someone's using anabolic steroids, but they keep it hush hush.
Absolutely. And when you see some studies where it can be upwards of 60% with competitive bodybuilders, that's also just looking at self-report. You know, so there are a lot of contingencies behind denying that and showing that you're someone who can, you know, overcome the typical limits of the human body through your hard work and, you know, achieve great things. So there's a lot that's riding on perpetuating that myth that these extreme physiques that you see are completely natural.
You see it in your practice, people coming in with unreasonable expectations of what they should look like, not fully understanding that what they see around them is not just from lifting a lot or a little bit of protein powder here and there?
Oh, absolutely. I think it still affects females much more than it does males, but you see that gap, I think, closing a bit. And I've seen both, you know, evidence of dissatisfaction related to mass as well as definition. And have seen, you know, both ends of that spectrum within males. Even saw someone who is a male entertainer. And I really didn't think of that as, you know, as a profession where these guys are using steroids. Because a lot of times, you know, when you focus on the extremes, you're focusing on these muscle mag guys. But this guy was letting me know all these guys are using this. That's what everyone does, you know. So it's they're focused. I mean, certainly they have musculature, but they're a lot more focused on that definition, being as cut as they can, you know, having those abs. And certainly that's a characteristic of steroids as well, in combination with the use of diuretics.
Now, you could foresee a future where maybe more disclosure is required for people taking money to endorse products, but social media is not going anywhere. What do you tell your clients about navigating this world where the images come at you from all directions that could influence how you think about your own body?
I think it's, you know, certainly describing what's going on and letting them know that if it appears too good to be true, it probably is. I mean, we're not even broaching the subject too of enhancement through things like Photoshop. But, you know, a lot of times these images, you know, are too good to be true. And even if someone is on, someone would call it the fortunate end of genetics in terms of having a more muscular build, you know, even they are going through certain cycles of extreme behaviors typically to achieve those results, and to achieve that over time or to maintain that over time is typically very difficult. I think it's important to let people know that you don't have to engage in self-loathing to motivate behavior to be healthy. A focus on health is what's important, and de-emphasizing the importance of obtaining a specific look for life outcomes. A lot of times there's a lot of myths tied to that, that if I just change something, my life is somehow going to be better, when that really isn't the case in most occasions. And people engage in a lot of unnecessary self-loathing to try and change behavior in a positive direction.
Among the many interesting points that you just shared is not only might the image of Muscle Man there on Instagram be fake, or it could be steroid enhanced, it also could be the guy only looked like that for 3 weeks because he was ready for a competition or ready to star in a movie, and might not look like that 6 months later or, you know, over the years.
Absolutely. Those images or that appearance, if it's a competition, is for a moment in time. And it takes a lot of extreme behavior to get to that point. This is not how people look typically just on an everyday basis when they get up and put their clothes on and go to work. These images are typically timed, whether someone is cycling on anabolic steroids or they're going through the extreme behavior that's needed to get to that point, take the images that they have and then go back to typical life.
Dr. Mayville, have you seen Pumping Iron? I mean, you must have seen it some years ago. Have you re-looked at it?
It's been a long time, but certainly that's one of the iconic, you know, bodybuilding films. And I think, you know, one of those films that kind of perpetuates that myth of hard work, you know, when these guys aren't talking about what they're doing behind the scenes. You know, Schwarzenegger, I don't think, admitted to steroid use until, you know, decades later. And certainly he was one of the driving forces behind that bodybuilding world and that idea that you can obtain what you want with hard work.
In fact, years later, another documentary came out called Raw Iron, which looked at the making of the original Pumping Iron. And Arnold Schwarzenegger in the later documentary is like, yeah, use steroids. But that took a long time for that to become clear, right?
Oh, absolutely. And he was a promoter for years of, you know, what people would refer to as more like natural products like protein powder. And certainly, like I say, even as an adolescent looking at that, you're going, dang, if I want to get stronger, I want to put on some muscle mass, this is all I got to do, you know, some hard work and a little protein powder. And before you know it, this is what I'm going to be looking like. and obviously it came out later that that's not at all true. At least, you know, in most circumstances, people aren't able to obtain muscularity even, you know, near that level without substantial artificial help.
How do you think about a healthier approach to your fitness goals rather than dysfunctional approaches?
Well, it's truly being fitness driven. You know, a lot of times people will say, I just want to be healthy. And in having worked with a lot more individuals with eating disorders, that's what you hear a lot. And it runs completely counter to what health really means. So really defining, what does that value of health really mean? What does it mean to be healthy? And we all have our limitations. If you look at, you know, genetics and you look at weight, it can get really tricky. And not all people can obtain a more thin physique. But I think, you know, when you truly look at health, you're looking at healthy behaviors that are reasonable and sustainable over time. You know, not making these drastic swings, but doing things because they honor that value of health. A lot of people believe it'd be nice to look a certain way, and especially if that way is conforming with the Western cultural ideals of health and fitness. But I think educating people and saying, you know, it's important to shoot for what your own fitness is and what's realistic for you, and loving yourself in the process, not using this negative negative reinforcement paradigm of self-loathing to increase your workout behavior.
You spot that in your clients, the self-loathing? People show up, you know, distracted by thoughts along those lines?
Oh, absolutely. And people will use that, you know, as inspiration. They call it, on the fitness influencer side, fitspiration, and the thinspiration on the eating disorder side, you know, using these images and sometimes deliberately using them to motivate, you know, these feelings to increase, whether it's exercise or increased restriction. Absolutely, that happens. Not in everybody, but it can be a significant part of that pathology.
So hard, though. It's at every level on social media, right? I mean, maybe you're not even a bodybuilder at all, but what photos of yourself do you put up and share with your friends? It's where you look good, where the light is just right, where it caught you at that one moment where you're glowing. And, you know, day in, day out, that's not how we look.
Right. Right. Absolutely. No, that's the good point. And, you know, certainly, again, the more attention you get for looking better. I mean, certainly, probably most people don't care in terms of your friends and that sort of thing. But when you look at it on a bigger level with this fitspiration stuff, you know, you're trying to do something that others might consider extraordinary. And the more that it is that way, the more attention you get, and the more attention you get, not only from people liking and following you, but the more money you can actually potentially make in doing that. So yeah, I think you're right. It is very pervasive from an individual level of trying to do what we can to put our best foot forward, to a much broader level that sort of encourages this idea that we need to be a certain way to be all right.
Think about it. Steroids have been illegal without prescription in the U.S. since 1990. That's not the case in some European countries even today, but in the U.S., illegal without prescription. Yet, there are people selling images, selling products based on quietly using steroids. Yet, there doesn't seem to be legal liability to boasting of the effects if you haven't said out loud that you got there because you used steroids. I guess that's a place that needs to be thought about more closely.
Sure, absolutely. You know, certainly there have been, to my understanding, watchdog groups that have identified that some, you know, some social media platforms are complicit in encouraging, you know, essentially advertising for illegal activities. And obviously the consequences of that on an individual can be devastating. And one of the problems with these drugs is that the short-term consequences, I mean, if we just look at human behavior, short-term consequences are more powerful than the longer-term consequences. So if you can do something right now that enhances the way that you feel and in your mind, how you look, you know, that will outweigh these consequences that you see potentially decades later with, you know, organ failure, cancers, numerous health problems. So it is a serious issue, and it's something that certainly should be looked at in terms of how do we apply consequences to people or companies encouraging illicit behaviors.
What's that term from economics? Hyperbolic discounting. This is the idea that it's very clear the near future, you know, the next day or few hours, but the further future is very murky and blurry, and it has big consequences, for instance, for retirement planning, personal finance. But you're saying the effects of steroids is the same way, where you're like, oh, wow, I could be ripped soon. And if I get sick from this, it'll be much later. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And you have a number of people that are able to calculate those risks in a way. I mean, maybe they're discounting the potential that they're the one that's going to experience these long-term consequences. But they go ahead and they'll acknowledge, like, hey, I'm willing to make this trade-off. Whether it's professional sports or professional bodybuilding, there's a very significant number of individuals, when they've done research on this, that are willing to say, hey, I don't care what these consequences are. I know what they are. If I can win right now, if I can do these things to make me successful right now, then so be it. And, you know, I'll let it ride and see how things play out. Well, I think there's a lot of ignorance about these consequences for some. There are quite a few people take these calculated risks knowing that down the road that this could happen, but they accept that as a trade-off willfully.
Mm. I mean, do you bring up steroid use with some of your clients, or is that more something that would be in a person in their, you know, medical doctor, physician?
Yeah, I mean, if it's an issue, I did have an individual who came to me once and was wondering what I could do to help him with his mood swings, and he was using steroids. So I'm like, you know, this is part of the deal. I don't like the sometimes false dichotomy between, like, what's biological and what's, you know, behavioral. But it's like, this is one of those things that I can't help you with. If you come in and you're choosing to use steroids, then, you know, this is one of the consequences and you're going to have to deal with it. And it's going to put you at risk. In this case, this individual is suicidal and, you know, really having a hard time when he's cycling. And it's like, hey, this is one of the things that comes along with it. If you choose to continue to do this, I can't do anything to help you.
Wow. Dr. Stephen Mayville, licensed psychologist based in Reno, Nevada. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.